At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's also not a good way to be a critical thinker, because no one's ever going to question obviously wrong assumptions, because
around you share don't them. Talk about critical thinking when you're banning every single book that has the audacity to be even slightly queer, or if it teaches anything about Black history in the United States or the oppression of Black people. Oh well, hey, wait, does it intersect? Is it about Black queer people? Ah, ban all the books, ban them all, I say.
Whoever's deciding that is deciding to not talk about other things. Whereas with a public digital town square like we have here, it's possible for the public.
The one that you are literally controlling and own and censor on? Are you serious? People are going to eat this shit up. All they need to do is be like, oh yes, the woke mind virus and the elite cabal are coming after all of us. Hee hee ho ho. And then everyone's like, whoa. That's why the Twitter spaces got shut down. Not because you're really bad at your job and you're really, really at it. Oh, it's the woke mind virus. Okay.
Not sort of.
All right.
Good afternoon, good evening,
everyone, depending on wherever in the world you're joining us from. I'm broadcasting live from Twitter headquarters. It's David Sachs here. Elon is sitting next to me.
And we want
to welcome you to this historic Twitter Spaces event, and more broadly, a first in the history of social media. Tonight, I'm pleased to introduce two individuals who've done more to loosen the grip.
That's not me. This is them. It just cut out. Is the server's not able to handle this? What's going on, Meatball? 27,000, big numbers. Okay, let's get back there.
Go ahead, Justin.
Ah, here we go. It's like having the radio back, you know? Just way shittier. It's like the radio, except really shitty. Are we supposed to watch this?
All right, sorry about that. We've got so many people here that I think we are kind of melting the servers, which is a good sign. All right, I'd like to just introduce the folks in the room here.
Which is a good sign.
So it's safe to say we wouldn't be making history without the man sitting next to me, Elon Musk. His decision to purchase this platform last year to restore it to its original mission as a beacon for free speech, and even to expose Twitter's past complicity with a government censorship regime.
Oh my God.
Might have surprised many, but not those of us who've known and worked with Elon for nearly a quarter century.
His commitment to freedom
and his willingness to put his money where his mouth is upset the narrative control imposed on us.
What is happening? Oh, did it cut out again? This is such fucking scuffed nonsense.
So, guys, I just want to make clear, the connection issue seems to be on the Twitter end. It's not on our end. It's not our space. Their stream keeps cutting out, which means
yeah, it's
radio, everyone, except shittier.
This is what I was trying to say.
Advanced technology of the radio.
This is
come on, Meatball Ron, tell us about how you hate Black people and the LGBTQ plus. It's your chance. Come on, do it. Are you measuring skulls? What's going on here?
Buzzing sound from TV, buzzing sound, or is it me?
Yeah, no, I messaged him too.
Yeah, $44 billion couldn't buy him a radio. $44 billion couldn't buy Elon Musk a fucking radio.
But Twitter has a bit of a glitch.
That's gonna be.
This is.
Yeah,
that's
gonna be pretty anticlimactic for Ron there. This big announcement can't work.
This is exactly.
Can't stop taking L's.
This is my big worry.
Can't stop taking fucking L's.
Yeah, this is.
I can't wait for Trump's tweet.
This is our tweet.
Oh, this
yeah, exactly.
Perfect time for it.
He can't run.
I really hope he starts tweeting right now. Like right
so
now.
So many L's. Just way shittier.
You got it right. That's gonna be.
Oh, I gotta post this.
What
all he has to tweet is Ron? Question mark.
No, no, the tweet will be what Heather said.
Trump's going to be like, oh, he can't run a Twitter space. How can he run the country?
True.
I'm trying to use it from a different account. It's still glitchy here.
Apt and accurate. On point. I agree.
And it's,
oh, my God.
Elon by himself. So that's disappointing. Yeah, and that is true. I have now confirmed that Elon Musk is the only
that engineer
one
is now fired.
This is insane. This is epic.
David Sachs said that DeSantis didn't shut down the schools and California did. That wasn't true.
Okay, hold on.
Right, so let's see.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yeah, this is fascinating. I have to say, the technical.
By the way, how many viewers does Hassan have
so
right
Elon
now?
So Elon just mentioned the fact
Hassan has 35.5. Hassan has more viewers than this space has right now, covering this space and how scuffed it is, and handling it fine, I might add. By the way,
does anybody know how many people were in that space?
There are currently 405,000 people in his space.
Wow, this is such a glorious fucking.
What's important is
it's already crashed 3 times. Oh, what a beautiful disaster!
You know,
thank you.
Really need
for making this possible.
Spaces are going to be a killer of Twitter, right? This is the future of Twitter.
I fucking hope not. For your sake,
at some point they're going to have to dedicate more resources to spaces here.
What a disaster!
Evidence of that necessity here.
Oh my god!
Hopefully, they can get this stuff fixed pretty quickly.
So many L's. Fast and furious.
Hey, Nick,
thank you for this gift.
It looked like desktop was crashed before they even started.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone sent me a screenshot of the desktop portion was crashed.
So what's interesting is,
look at the title.
As Heather was saying, this is sort
of
anticlimactic, but remember that he is going to be on Fox. My understanding is right after this.
How did Trump crash Elon's space?
Doc, I heard it was Russia.
Trump crashed it?
That's what I've been told through the wire.
What? Okay, hold on. It's already down. Okay.
You guys are always about the deep state. So
I have to say, the biggest thing I think from a business perspective is how is Linda Yaccarino going to respond to this specifically with advertisers?
Yeah, I think they're memeing. I think they're memeing. They're memeing everyone. Hold on.
How does this affect this sort of fight between, you know, corporate media and the new media, if they can't even keep it up and running for such an important event? That's what that I have to say. This actually is potentially a very big event for Twitter.
And Dr. Danish, I totally agree with you, because essentially mainstream media, all eyes of mainstream media are on this. We've had those two major interviews before, but maybe they didn't penetrate the mainstream media as much, but this one,
yeah, the MSN,
it's just completely crashed.
It's gonna shit on this.
Yeah, to be fair though, I mean, when you look at Elon Musk, I mean, the guy builds rockets for a living basically, and how many failed launches lead to a good launch, right? So if you look at this as like one of the first test launches, I'm sure there's going to be a learning curve, but eventually everyone knows the spaces are going to become more suitable for that many viewers at once. But obviously this is,
but they for Ron DeSantis,
they should have done like maybe like a smaller test space, like,
okay,
first.
So apparently DeSantis lost connection to, no one is talking now, they're sitting in the space, he crashed the app 3 times. So, I cannot wait for Trump's statement.
Kidding me. There's no way that that's exactly what's going on. Are you kidding right now?
Yeah. Hold on. Can someone play? Can Justin? Can you? I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah,
Justin.
Play it.
Is it like
hold on? Let's
music?
See.
Like,
it was the music that, you know, like when you start a space, you have this option to play music that.
Oh my God. No, that's not it. That's not it. Oh no, Justin, stop messing with us.
Beth,
this is so scuffed.
Yeah, I've just muted you, Justin. You got a lot of buzzing sound.
This is so
I don't
scuffed.
Know why. But
yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Khaleesi, Khaleesi will be able to stream it as well. Khaleesi, can you play that? Can you stream
Khaleesi
that whole for us?
I'm McQueen.
Hear it.
There isn't any, Mario.
Oh,
I don't know what's
joke.
All right,
guys.
Yeah, I can't even hear it as well.
A joke. It okay, well, that wasn't a good joke.
It was
I actually
the music that plays when you actually start a space up. You know,
clean up your room. John Otto, thank you for the $5.
Pretty good rendition of it.
Who are we hearing? Who are these reporters? Okay, so this is Nick Sortor.
Oh, so there was, hold on, there was
Mario
there was actually a hold music,
yes.
Nick. Not the one that Justin played, but a different one.
I can't hear it. Neither
well, you can't hear it anymore.
I've got it on the
background.
Because it stopped, it stopped. It played for a bit earlier.
No, when he was saying it, I...
Okay, hold on. Is the Ron DeSantis one back up? Ron DeSantis. Everything I'm reading online is about how it just crashed.
Well, there's 382,000 people in the room.
All right, great. So let's see.
So they just keep crashing, huh?
Yeah, I think we've got just a massive number of people online, so it's servers are straining somewhat.
Oh, this is wild. If you would have done this on the AM radio, I think they would have had any audio issues. No problems with quality, dropouts, server overloading. There wouldn't even need servers to be involved at all. You could just do this on the old ham radio. It probably would have worked out better than whatever the fuck is happening here.
All right, we're just reallocating more server capability to be able to handle the load here. It's really going crazy. So,
who knew? Yeah, who knew, Elon? Who knew that, like, you know, you might need some staff to be able to handle these kind of problems should they arise, especially if you want to scale up and host a massive event to both show off your product and how you're teaming up to destroy wokeness. Wokeness fucking just won. Oh, man, the woke mind virus crushed you. Crushed you all. I can't even pronounce virus. The woke mind virus wins again.
Obviously, very excited to have Governor DeSantis make this.
Oh, this is wild. Oop. Close clip. Wait, is that the end?
I would class myself as a moderate, and you know, neither Republican nor Democrat. And in fact, I have voted overwhelmingly for Democrats historically, overwhelmingly. Like, I'm not sure, I might never have voted for a Republican, just to be clear.
Right.
Now this election, I will. The Democratic Party is overly controlled.
I know it's old. It's Elon's scuff test project. I wonder it crashed, just like his rockets. Yeah, basically. Exploding like everything else he does. I'm just trying to see if they're trying to restart it. Because obviously this is deeply embarrassing. But I could see him wanting to... Apparently DeSantis is a listener in the space. Oh my god.
And integrity over fear. Education...
Oh my god, no one is ever going to vote for you. You're so DOA. Integrity and freedom for every American. That's what you sound like? Okay, let's see if Hassan has something... Is he streaming with some secret powers, some secret Hassan songs?
And refused to
wait, what? They did do it.
To joining us from, I'm broadcasting live from David from Twitter headquarters. It's David Sachs here. Elon is sitting next to me, and we want to welcome you to the
okay. So it wasn't just me; it was this guy.
A first in the history of social media. Tonight, I'm pleased to introduce two individuals who've done more to loosen the.
That's incredible.
And of course, like, already fucking all of the fucking Elon Musk super simps, like fucking what's-his-face, Tim Pool, are like, oh, amazing, 460,000, I guess, is the limit, sir. Well done. Amazing. Another beautiful disaster. All planned. Yeah, masterful gambit. Fucking scuffed-ass Wii waiting music. Oh, what a loser. What a fucking loser. Man, the only thing sadder than Elon Musk, I'm sorry, is all the people who fucking still think this is the epic shit. Who are still, oh, he's the fucking meme master though, bro. Gotta admit, he's really good at fucking, you know, stealing other people's memes and shit. The epic. really does fail at everything he tries to accomplish. That's pretty fucking epic. Then Ron tries to join. That's when it crashes. When Meatball Ron shows up, he just fucking crashed it. Oh, you can see it too. It's preserved. Do you even get a
That's
sound?
Unfortunate.
Oh, he got something in.
Just trying to get it going because there's so many people.
Just trying to get it going.
That's unfortunate. I've like never seen this before.
Never seen this before.
Tennis up with this, so I start.
Oh wow.
We're just trying to get it going.
Fucking DOA, you were dead on arrival, you fucking weird pudding-covered torture whisperer. Fucking hell. Someone says they're gonna restart it? Hold on. We can't even do radio anymore. Well, the level of technology we're dealing with, unfortunately, is before radio. Yes, we're not in that. Details not available. This is just too funny. Oh, they're up. All right. It's happening. Nope. Nope. They're back down. And already, I wonder if this was a DDoS attack. They're trying to silence the truth. You know they're going to go with that. Of course, they're going to go right for fucking psyops, not fucking complete and utter buffoonery. Yeah, well, why have to take accountability for any of our own actions or the shit we do when we can just say it's the whole part of this giant psyop fucking woke mind virus shit? The woke mind virus has won. Vosh got in the space somehow? Aw. I just have to watch someone else. Yeah, I'll have to watch Vosh's stream. Inception!
Inevitable. It is a choice. And we should choose a new direction, a path that will lead to American
revitalization. He's doing it.
We must restore sanity to our nation. This means embracing fiscal and economic sanity. Stop pricing hardworking Americans out of a good standard of living through inflationary borrowing.
Yeah, it's on for some people.
Spending policies, and please embrace American energy.
Guess the bigger streamers.
Also means replacing the woke mind virus with reality, facts, and enduring principles. Merit must trump identity politics.
Trump?
We must return normalcy to our communities. America's a sovereign country. Our borders must be respected. We cannot have foreigners pouring into our country illegally by the millions. We cannot allow drug cartels to poison our population with fentanyl. Public deserves safe communities and law.
I'm connecting. Oh, we have a source. Jacking in. Jack me in. Why aren't you jacking me in?
Like those in our military are more concerned.
We connected.
With
we did
matters
it.
Not central to the mission, whether it's global warming or gender ideology and pronouns. Morale declines and recruiting suffers.
Clean up your room.
We need to eliminate these distractions and we need to get focused on the core mission. We also cannot have troops.
Terrence Bogarts, thank you for the prime.
Significant issues are decided by the whims of unelected bureaucrats rather than the people's elected representatives. Reestablishing integrity in our institutions means
this
we
is
must
so sad.
Reinvigorate our constitutional system by returning the government to its rightful owners.
Again, you could have done this more effectively on radio.
No social or transformation without representation.
You're getting more reach from all the
truth
memes.
Truth needs to be our foundation. Common sense can no longer be an uncommon virtue. And in Florida, we proved it could be done. We chose facts over fear, education over indoctrination, law and order over rioting and disorder. We held the line when freedom hung in the balance. And we're thriving as a result. Florida's the nation's fastest growing state. We're number one in net in-migration, number one in new business formations, recently ranked number one in education. We have a 50-year low crime rate and one of the lowest tax and debt per capita in America. But we also understand governing is not entertainment. It's not about building a brand or virtue signaling. It is about delivering results. And our results in Florida have been second to none. We can and we must deliver big results for America. I pledge to be an energetic executive that will take on the important issues. Biden's pursued inflationary policies that are hurting working people. We will reverse those policies.
Has Trump truthed about this yet?
Americans can achieve a good standard of living. Biden's opened the southern border and allowed massive amounts of drugs to pour into the country. We'll shut down the border, construct a border wall, and hold the drug cartels accountable. Biden's embraced medical authoritarianism, such as unconstitutional COVID vax mandates. We will ensure that those violations of liberty can never happen again. Biden's allowed woke ideology to drive his agenda.
Silence the fascist for 2 seconds. So from Time Magazine, this is a pattern that shows up in the statistics of many Republican-led states, which on average commit fewer dollars per capita to healthcare, public education, and other crucial services compared to their blue counterparts, while making sure corporations and wealthy individuals are prioritized for tax relief. Arizona cut taxes every year between 1990 and 2019, following up with a shift to flat tax this year that will cost the budget $1.9 billion. Meanwhile, public school spending ranks 48 amongst 50 states. In Florida, the state's tax revenues come largely through sales and excise taxes, which fall hardest on the poor and middle class. A 2018 study by left-leaning Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy found that Florida had the third least equitable tax system of all 50 states. In the state's upside-down tax structure, the poorest 20% of Florida families paid 12.7% of their income in taxes, while families whose income were in the top 4% paid only 4.5%, and the top 1% paid 2.3%, according to the study. Florida taxpayers get less for their money than residents of many other states. The Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation on studies and healthcare globally, found in 2022 its scorecard for Florida had the 16th worst healthcare amongst 50 states. It's no wonder that Florida ranks below the northern blue states in life expectancy, rates of cancer death, diabetes, fatal overdoses, teen birth rates, and infant mortality. Largely because of DeSantis' obstinacy, Florida is one of the 10 states that have refused to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, an act of political spite that has cost states billions in federal health care dollars and cost thousands of people their lives. More than 12% of Floridians are without medical insurance, a worse record than all but four other states. Despite having the country's highest percentage of retirees, Florida has the worst long-term care amongst all 50 states, according to the American Association of Retired Persons. What a fucking dumpster fire. What an absolute dumpster fire he is.
One thing in common, and it was this. Every single one of them had failed. And so they knew it fell to our country, the United States of America, to determine whether people could really govern themselves.
Raised much of his money during his run for governor, which in theory cannot be used in his current escapade, and poll numbers tanked. And wow, did they tank.
And when Dr. Benjamin Franklin walked out of that convention, he was asked, did you deliver a republic or a monarchy? He said, a republic is you.
Oh, he just posted a video.
The Washington established politicians like to talk about how they can be just like Donald Trump. The truth?
Yes.
There's only one Donald Trump.
Yes.
Only one who gave us the largest tax cuts in history.
Yes. No. I am that sicko. Absolutely. Right now, I'm like, oh yes, yes, good.
That's the healthcare they deserve, and stood up to China, and protected your job. Only one who kept us out of endless wars, while destroying our terrorist enemies. Only one who fundamentally changed the Supreme Court, was called the most pro-life president in history, and relentlessly protected our Second Amendment rights. And our borders. Why would we ever settle for Trump imposters?
Make America great again. Great again.
When there's only one, starting day one, who can make America great again.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
But it was very, very lonely in a lot of those decisions. And part of the reason it was so lonely is because there was a concerted effort to try to stifle dissent. There was an official narrative about lockdowns, about closing schools, about forced masking, about all these different things that we had to navigate during COVID. And it was an orthodoxy being enforced by the major tech platforms in conjunction with the federal government. And if we can't have an honest debate in a free country about issues that affect hundreds of millions of people, like lockdowns, then what good is the First Amendment at that point? Those are precisely the times when we needed to have.
Oh, I'm muted. Fuck, I'm the one boomerang out. I got muted too.
Down articles that criticize.
I'm more scuffed than he is.
Policies, and yet that's exactly what happened. So
at least mine are intentional. All right.
If that had continued, I think free speech in this country was on its way out the door. And so when Elon Musk stepped up to purchase Twitter,
oh my God,
he paid a lot of money for it. And I'm sure because he's a good businessman, Elon, I'm sure you'll end up making money off it. But bottom line is you had to put your money where your mouth is. because I think you recognize that you can't have a free society unless we have the freedom to debate the most important issues that are affecting our civilization. That did not happen during COVID. The truth was censored repeatedly. And now that Twitter is in the hands of a free speech advocate, that would not be able to happen again on this Twitter platform. So I think what was done with Twitter is really significant for the future of our country. We cannot have a society in which government is colluding with major tech platforms to enforce an orthodoxy.
You're Thank you. Seeing this on Elon Musk's Twitter platform spaces.
What?
Yes, we can't have collusions between politicians and these big tech companies. It's really cool to advertise this amazing technology you invented here, Elon, this Twitter spaces, you call it.
Those views and
very cool.
Some minds will be changed one way or the other. And but it's just incredibly important, as you highlight, that the First Amendment is irrelevant if all the media and all the and the government are operating in lockstep. It makes
What are you trying to say right now, Elon? You have someone running for the president of the United States who is in your spaces advertising your platform.
Free and open debate. So Twitter was indeed expensive, but free speech is priceless.
What a fucking awesome. Loser.
Thank you. So,
oh, man, that was so cringe that even people were like, oh, you're serious. Oh, that's sad. Too many L's today.
Some people knew this announcement was coming because there's been no shortage of hit pieces on you in the press over the last week or two. I want to ask.
Yeah, I know. He's been posted on Truth. We played his ad already.
Last week, the NAACP issued a travel advisory against your state, claiming that Florida is not a safe place for minorities to visit. What do you say to those who've been advised that somehow they aren't welcome in your state?
Claiming that Florida is unsafe is a total farce. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at cities around this country, they are awash in crime. In Florida, our crime rate is
to both show off your product and how you're teaming up to
this 25.
I'm posting in real time about this,
sorry. Florida does not have a single one amongst the top 25. And if you look at cities like Baltimore and Chicago,
we read the stats, by the way. Florida is fucking suffering in a bad way because of this asshole.
Education. Yet I don't see the NAACP batting an eye about all the outrage and the carnage that's happening in those areas. So this is a political stunt. These left-wing groups have been doing it for many, many years. And at the end
you're
of the
fucking
day, what they're
over
doing
the
is
entire state, and then you're like, it's Antifa. This is a left-wing fucking
now,
stunt.
Is
Antifa did it.
American
and woke my virus and Antifa.
And platforms like Twitter are there where people can debunk these lies in real time. And I would just say, as an American citizen, if you are uncritically accepting narrative spun by legacy media and left-wing groups, you're failing at your job of being a conscientious citizen. And I think people just see right through it. And oh, by the way, have any of these travel advisories, because they've been doing this for a while, all these left-wing groups, have any of them worked? Well, we're the number one state for net in-migration and have been every year since I've been governor. We just capped the highest quarter for tourism in the history of the state of Florida. And our view is we want everybody to succeed regardless of their skin color.
So
we don't divvy up people
sad.
By race. At the same time, it is worth pointing out that we have in Florida more Black-owned businesses than any state in the nation. And we've also had more African-Americans lead state agencies under my administration than at any time in Florida history. But with us, you know they're there because of merit. Not because trying to play
the good ones.
Politics.
You just said the good ones. Holy shit!
The black students in Florida perform much higher.
He can't help it. Even when he's trying to be like, I care deeply about African Americans. Yes, the good ones, of course.
Amongst our black student population. And oh, by the way, the head of the NAACP lives in Florida, and a lot of their board members have put out on social media during my governorship, Florida vacation.
Yeah, it was Disney. It was Disney and the woke mind virus.
Good time.
That's great. Well, I mean, Florida's a great state, and I think everyone, the people realize that. Some of the things that are being said are just truly absurd. I mean, I saw some headline from The Atlantic basically claiming that anyone who listens to this spaces on Twitter is basically a Nazi.
That was the Atlantic, and then, Vanity Fair said that that you were hosting or interviewing because David Duke wasn't available.
Oh yes,
although
yes,
I'm not.
Lol, it's hilarious that people are kind of picking up on how much we're giving fascists a pass that they're actually talking about it out loud. I know, it's wild. I know. That's pretty crazy. Because again, we're just palling around with a lot of Nazis and the Nazi shit and all that kind of stuff. You know.
That, I mean, how crazy do you have to be? But in their little bubble, it sounds like they're making some type of profound point. And so part of, I think, what Twitter is standing for is people should be exposed to different viewpoints. And I think the elites in our society have tried to cluster themselves to where their assumptions are never challenged. And that's not a good way, I think, to live. It's also not a good way to be a critical thinker, because no one's ever going to question obviously wrong assumptions, because everybody around you share them.
Don't talk about critical thinking when you're banning every single fucking book that has the fucking audacity to be even slightly queer, or if it teaches anything about Black history in the United States or the oppression of Black people. Oh well, hey, wait, does it intersect? Is it about Black queer people? Ah, ban all the books, ban them all, I say. You fucking snowflakes want your little white supremacist safe space. That's what it is. All of these white supremacist ass white supremacists want a safe space for white supremacists to do white supremacist shit, because they're fucking snowflakes.
My account was actually too much interest. But
my account was breaking the system. There's really never been a mechanism before where someone could address the nation, or anyone who wanted to listen to them could, from anywhere in the world, the United States or anywhere. So,
what?
This is a really profound change.
Do you think you invented radio like communication? What, Elon? I don't even know what you're taking credit for here.
An article is true or not. Even more powerful is deciding what the narrative is.
The king's speech? I have a voice.
There's only so much you can actually fit in a newspaper or a magazine. And there's only one thing you can really put on the cover of a magazine. So that whoever's deciding that is deciding to not talk about other things. Whereas with a public digital town square like we have here, it's possible for the public.
The one that you are literally controlling and own and censor on? Are you serious? Fucking hell, and people are going to eat this shit up.
Using that phrase.
All they need to do is be like, oh yes, the woke mind virus and the elite cabal are coming after all of us. Hee hee ho ho. And then everyone's like, whoa. That's why the Twitter spaces got shut down. Not because you're really bad at your job and you're really, really shit at it.
Oh,
it's the woke mind virus. Okay.
Not sort of five editors in chiefs of a few newspapers, basically.
Yeah. And I think one of the really crazy things that happened during COVID is that social networks really started censoring dissenting.
Hi, David Sachs.
On COVID, medical viewpoints that ended up being totally correct.
So we have, by the way, fucking neo-reactionary, far-right funded big tech companies directly right now openly colluding with people who are announcing their fucking presidential campaign, their fascist-ass presidential campaign on the actual site. Scuffed as it may be, but they're still doing it.
It'd be great.
And they're doing it fucking in the open.
I know that during COVID, you worked with Governor DeSantis. It'd be great just to hear a little bit about your interactions.
Oh, thanks for giving me so many Twitter files, Elon.
Yeah, thank you, David. Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute honor to work with Governor DeSantis. And I was really impressed by his decision-making in the face of an absolute firestorm of criticism. But he, you know, Governor, you did the right thing when you opened the schools. And my kids in California for a year and a half
didn't see
the inside of a classroom.
No way.
Whereas Florida kids were...
We interrupt this fascist to bring you another. What a shit show. Lol. Epic, it's so awesome that they can't handle a lot of people going on and listening at once because their servers are overloading because they fired all the people who normally would be critical at a point like this in order to prevent that from happening. Lol, Epic, such great memes.
The CDC, the FDA, the NIH. How do you see...
It's a circle jerk of people who have absolutely zero interest in truth. Zero interest in truth. And they just want to fucking profess about how much they're interested in the truth. Like, it is so fucking masturbatory for just a whole bunch of people to, we care. deeply about free speech. I'm Mr. Free Speech Spaceman. I love free speech. This is all about, always has been, this is the free speech platform. Absolutely, totally. Unless, of course, you're reporting days later with public information about your flight records, because then you'll censor that person. Oh, or maybe if the government of India, under their fascist regime, where Modi is trying to, again, target ethnic minorities, you'll censor on his behalf. Oh, what about Turkey and Erdogan? Yeah, same thing. Right away, you'll do government collusion directly to censor information. You don't give, none of them do, two fucks about this. They're all either liars, hypocrites, or they're fucking combinations therein, where they're just sitting there being like, I care about free speech. I'm Mr. Free Speech Man, you know?
I saw just...
They banned a poem? What a fucking bunch of snowflakes.
Interest in the narrative.
Fucking white supremacist fascist pieces of
over
shit.
Over evidence-based reasoning and evidence-based...
No, you don't care about anything evidence-based. That's the shittiest thing about Ron DeSantis. Ah, Trump, get at him. Unleash Trump. Feral Trump. Florida school blocks younger students from reading Amanda Gorman's The Hill We Climb poem. Amanda Gorman slammed officials at the school in Miami-Dade County, Florida on Tuesday, which she called a ban on elementary students reading The Hill We Climb. I'm gutted because one of the parents complained, my inaugural poem, The Hill We Climb, has been banned in an elementary school. Wow. Book bans aren't new, but they've been on the rise, according to the LLA. 40% more books were challenged in 2022 compared to 2021. 40% increase. Fucking, they're just marching towards this shit.
Health agencies, but other agencies inside the federal government that worked to suppress the speech of Americans. And I'd love to hear thoughts about it.
No question. So I'm actually in Florida. We recognize the danger there. So I'm actually going to be signing a digital bill of rights for Florida pretty soon, which will bar all state and local government officials from colluding or working with a technology company for the purpose of censorship of speech. Because you're exactly right. You had people in the White House, you had people in all these other agencies working with these platforms to try to take it down. And oh, by the way, what did they censor Dr. Bhattacharya for? It was a roundtable discussion that I led and convened. We had Dr. Bhattacharya, MD, PhD from Stanford. We had Martin Kulldorff from Harvard Medical School. And we had Sunetra Gupta from Oxford, who was generally viewed as one of the best epidemiologists across the pond.
Wait, are we just going right into anti-vax shit now? Just straight up anti-vax shit?
Eminent people, and what are we discussing?
I mean, yeah.
We're discussing whether there's any...
Like, you're not getting anything from fascists outside of will marginalize other communities on the behalf of upholding white supremacy and patriarchy. That's the only real thing you're going to get. Otherwise, it's just going to straight up be like policies that fuck over everyone. Everyone.
Point. We had already had enough experience in Florida where you had some schools that had done it before the state banned the mandates. You had some schools that had done it, some schools didn't, and the results were no different. And yet his video was taken down by Google, YouTube. So it was a huge, huge problem. And yes, I think the federal government, FBI,
I hate big tech.
Any of the health
agencies, I hate how big tech does this, even when big tech does this.
Delegating speech restriction to a private company. You can't do indirectly what the Constitution would clearly forbid you to do directly.
Let me pull in. We have Congressman Thomas Massey.
You're
there. Go ahead and unmute yourself. I mean, what we're talking about here is, I think,
should I request
really
to speak?
Unconstitutional actions by federal agencies.
Even right wingers think this is boring.
Congressman Massey, I know that you've been involved in this problem of, you know,
this is insanely boring. No one's voting on free speech or woke.
and used against the American people in an inappropriate way.
Could have fooled us. That's all they seem to care about.
And do you have a question for Governor DeSantis?
Well, first of all, let me say a big thank you to Elon Musk for buying Twitter and exposing all of this. On our weaponization committee, we wouldn't know so much of it if he hadn't done this.
Oh,
almost as a public service.
To the very cool.
The minds will be changed.
It's relevant, a disturbing trend. Government, as the governor said, the government is colluding with big corporations.
You know, what are you trying to say right now? You have someone running for the president of the United States who is in your...
Voluntarily gave names of and information on anybody who bought a hot dog in Washington, D.C. from January 5th to January 7th. And then
I just want
to
pull up an old tweet from one Donald J. Trump.
When Elon Musk came to the White House asking me for help on my many subsidized projects, whether it's electric cars that don't drive long enough, driverless cars that crash, or rocket ships out of nowhere, which without subsidies, he'd be worthless, and telling me how he was a big Trump fan and Republican, I could have said drop on your knees and beg, and he would have done it.
Fucking banger.
In our house for 5 years, but my
and just for the record, I was with Thomas our first year as in Congress. He's got the Tesla, but his license plate is Kentucky Coal, so it's he's probably one of the only people that have that in the country.
Thanks for outing me, Governor DeSantis. But no, so Governor DeSantis, my question to you is, you know, you served here in Congress for 6 years with me. And why is it that Congress is so feckless at reining in these government agencies? And what do you think we need to do? And if you were president, what would you urge Congress, or what bills would you like to see and sign to rein in this, you know, sort of overreach of government bureaucracy?
Well, first, I think there's a lot that the executive branch can do. And all I will say when it comes to these agencies, we'll go into this a little bit more as the campaign goes on. But buckle up when I get in there, because the status quo is not acceptable. And we are going to make sure that we reconstitutionalize this government. And these agencies are totally out of control. There's no accountability. And we are going to bring that in a very big way. Now, part of the reason it's gotten so bad, power has been consolidated and effectively a fourth branch of government, because Congress hasn't used its two main powers that it has under the Constitution. First, the power of the purse. If an agency is engaging in conduct that is outside the realm of what is legal, or you think it's not good for the public interest, then you can remove the funding for those operations. There's nothing that they're not entitled to get the same level of funding every year. And yet Congress runs the government on autopilot, either continuing resolutions or massive omnibus spending bills. So these agencies are all bulletproof. They know that they're going to end up
getting something
similar or more every single year, and it creates an incentive for them to abuse their power. The other thing you can do is actually legislate, so you're not delegating to the bureaucracy key issues regarding how to enforce federal law. You should define what you want. All they should be doing is implementing. Instead, Congress will basically give an invitation for the bureaucracy to make really important substantive decisions. And so Congress may never vote on something, and the bureaucracy will cite a law from 20 years ago and do things that are going to transform our society or our country. That is not the way the founding fathers drew up the Constitution.
So would you sign the Reins Act? We passed it out of judiciary today.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. That would, I think, be a great check. For that, I also think that we're going to have a good chance to see some of the Chevron deference really curtailed or maybe even eliminated based on the U.S. Supreme Court's upcoming jurisprudence. And I think that's another reason why the bureaucracy has become so powerful, because courts have basically been told they can pretty much do what they want, and courts are supposed to just defer. I don't think that that's actually correct. I think the courts, they have to make a judgment about what does the law actually say, and you can't just defer to quote-unquote experts in the bureaucracy.
Thank you.
All right, shifting gears, Governor, I want to ask you another topic that's been in the news a lot is Disney. They blamed you for canceling plans for $1 billion investment in Florida, said they were canceling 2,000 jobs. I saw other reports that suggested Disney was going to make the cuts anyway, and due to a larger, you know, budget cutting initiative. Regardless of why they did it, why do you feel your fight with Disney remains important, considering you already beat them on the parental rights bill that they opposed? And what would you say to some of your opponents in this race who argue that the fight has dragged on too long?
So first of all, Florida stands for the protection of children. We believe jamming gender ideology in elementary school is wrong.
Here it is.
Disney obviously supported injecting gender ideology in elementary school.
Gender ideology.
They did oppose our parents' rights legislation.
Fucking fascists.
And the fact is, when they opposed it, that was a big deal, because
boring
for 50
ass
years,
fucking Milhouse fascists.
Disney wanted something in Florida politics. They pretty much got it. But not this time.
Disney's woke. The founding fathers would have fought wokeness.
We did, as you say, on the issue, but what happened was Disney's posturing, some of the other statements that their executives were making, kind of the corporate culture, had really been outed as trying to inject matters of sex into the programming for the youth. And I think a lot of parents, including me, look at that and say, that's not appropriate. I mean, we
citation
want to be able
your own
to
fucking delusions.
Kids, and that's kind of our mantra. So you had this setup that Disney engineered many decades ago, where they actually had their own government that they controlled with no accountability. They were exempt from the
law. A land, if you will. A Disneyland.
Massive tax breaks, and they even racked up municipal debt.
I mean, obviously, let them fight in the highest order. It's just absolutely absurd that people, especially in Florida, where there's so many problems that are concerning the actual voters and the citizens of that state, listen to someone like Ron DeSantis, who's blaming everything on the big woke. Oh, what would the founding fathers have done about the great wokening that has befallen us? How will we stop these queers and LGBTQ plus people from destroying everything? And it's like, well, I guess when you don't have any policy, this is going to be something that you can try and use or weaponize in the opposite direction. Very play-by-play fascist shit.
I don't think that that's good policy. And I think some of these Republicans that are taking Disney's side, they're basically showing themselves to be corporatists, because these are all corporate goodies.
Corporatists.
This is not the way you would run a competitive economy. And the arrangement had really outlived its usefulness, but it persisted because Disney was so politically powerful. I think the company's ethos have changed in a way that alienated a lot of people in our legislature.
The ethos.
In Florida. And so there was really no
Twitter
justification to keep
expensive.
It. But make no mistake.
That was so cringe. Even people were like,
what I call special privileges. People are making money in Florida hand over fist.
Hand over fist.
Business climate. That's not good enough for them.
Fist.
They want to be treated differently than Universal and SeaWorld. And we don't think that
SeaWorld.
That's appropriate.
Absolutely
so, you
absurd
know, I think
that people
that they
especially
withdraw the lawsuit. But obviously, we're going to defend our actions because we think we have the right to do what we did.
You know, it's funny. The media used to criticize Republicans for being in the pocket of big corporations, and now they're attacking you because you're not.
Well, not only that, Dave, it's interesting because the media in Florida.
The circle jerk continues.
Had hammered Disney.
Man, it's so weird that we got to this point.
Like,
we got to this point where there's a fucking scuffed ass Twitter Spaces fascist presidential campaign announcement
when
that
the state control board
cracks,
took over
breaks.
This district,
Jesus.
The firefighters came to the board and they said, hey, we weren't getting survivor benefits for some of these widows. And so the state control board actually paid out some of the benefits that they were getting stiffed on. There were a lot of people in Central Florida who were really thankful that there was some accountability being brought to bear because, I mean, you know, it's human nature. If there's no accountability over any individual or entity, of course, they're going to behave differently.
Absolutely
than if
absurd
you have
that people, especially in Florida.
But,
there's...
but the media was always very hostile to that. But just because I happened to be involved in bringing it back to reality and making sure that they were under the same laws, well, then all of a sudden they're running to Disney's defense. I mean, are you kidding me? And oh, by the way, on this project, you know, they had announced this many years ago. They had not done anything for it, but that is actually not in Reedy Creek. So that was in a different part of Orlando. And so none of the issues that are involved in their suit would have made a difference there. Obviously, as a publicly traded corporation, you know, they have a fiduciary duty to do what's best for their shareholders. So I'm assuming if they were in better financial shape and they saw the project as lucrative, they would have gone forward with it. But I think clearly they've had some problems with their stock price and a lot of other issues. And I'd also just finally point out, nobody probably has made Disney more money than me because they were open during COVID and they were closed in California. And that went on for many, many months where literally I had all the theme parks in Florida opened in 2020. People are going, it's safe, they're having fun. And the California parks were closed. I think they were closed for over a year out in California. So we were, I think, a much better place to be doing business, certainly since I've been governor.
Great. Let me shift gears here to the topic of education. I want to pull Chris Rufo into the conversation. I know he worked with you on some initiatives. I think, you know, one other thing that the mainstream media has, I think, bashed on is they've kind of started promoting this narrative that you want to ban books from school libraries. You refuse to teach kids about slavery or other unpleasant realities of American history, or pretend that gay people don't exist. Since many people, I think, in this room, we're now up to, over 271,000 people. So this is, I think, totally unprecedented in terms of the numbers of people we have participating. By the way, I think
on Twitter Spaces, yes,
now. I think it crashed because
not in terms of the internet.
Half a million people in a room by an account with over 100 million followers,
yeah,
which is Elon's account. I think that created just a scalability level that was unprecedented. But with my meager followership, it seems to be working much better.
We have some scaling issues specifically related to my account. At one point in January, if I tweeted above a certain size, it would crash the servers.
Yeah.
Because you were so epic.
And anyone else who was tweeting at the same time would lose their tweet as well.
Is he actually flexing on the fact that he has no idea how to run a tech company? Hey, I got into the tech company and I wanted to let that sink in, so I got rid of the wokeness, so I fired everyone. Yeah, all of those woke liberal coders, programmers, technicians, all of them, they're gone. It's like, well, yeah, so you know how you want to make the platform into epic for you? Like, you are just like the most popular person, just so it shows you have the most friends, most likes, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of hard and tricky to scale a lot of this because we don't have people who work here anymore. Should probably not have done that. Look, Elon Musk.
What I've done is empowered parents with the ability to review the curriculum, to know what books are being used in school, and then to ensure that those books match state standards and are age and developmentally appropriate. So, for example, parents have flagged books in schools that, for example, teach middle school kids how to use sex apps. That provide graphic depictions of sex acts and sex toys for people as young as fifth grade. And so clearly that is not appropriate to be in a middle school classroom. And so parents object and the schools take them out. I did a press conference that we called Exposing the Book Ban Hoax. And before I had the parents come up, before I spoke, I just played the video that had the images of the books that the parents had objected being in their kids' classroom. And the local news had to cut the feed because they said it was too graphic. Well, if it's too graphic for the 6 o'clock news, how is it okay for a sixth grader or a fifth grader? And so nothing's being banned. They're basically ensuring that we make curation choices that are consistent with state standards. And on the racial history, we eliminated critical race theory from our K through 12 schools. That was the right thing to do. In other words, we're not going to take a kid who comes in at 6 years old and say they're an oppressor or oppressed based on what their race is. That's divisive.
Oh,
that's wrong.
God.
We're also not going to be teaching people to hate their country. But what we are going to do is teach the accurate history. So in the same bill that banned critical race theory, we required teaching thoroughly about racial discrimination that occurred in American history and Florida's history.
Is that what you're going to be calling things like slavery, racial discrimination? Well, we're going to bring up that there was some racial discrimination in the past. Things have changed now. Obviously, everything's been solved and there's no more problems. And America is now the greatest, freest, most prosperous country in the history of the universe. So, yeah, we don't want to teach all this other nonsense. What, systemic racism, stuff like that? No, no, this is wokeness. Wokeness of the highest order, I say.
Is that somehow you don't want kids to learn that slavery existed in America, which is preposterous. No one actually defends the offending material. And the question is why are there people intent on trying to get this stuff into the classroom? And I think it's part of a political agenda. So our mantra in Florida is the purpose of the schools is education, not indoctrination. Yes, I think it's very inappropriate to have sexually explicit material in a fifth grade library, 100%. But it's also the case that if you're focusing on that type of instruction, there's an opportunity cost involved. Why shouldn't we be doing more on science or reading or math? And so I think we're getting it right. And I think almost invariably, and Chris Rufo's had to deal with this too, when they're trying to craft these narratives, you just peel back the onion.
Of course, that fucking white supremacist is there, Chris Rufo, the one who made everyone lose their minds over critical race theory. Very effectively, by the way. I mean, you got to give them credit. They weaponized critical race theory, a concept that I don't think anybody would have been talking about on a regular basis to such a degree that everyone is deathly afraid of it. They're like almost as afraid of it as they are of fucking rainbows and pronouns now. They're just like, they've got a really effective way at just getting everyone to be terrified of things that don't actually affect their lives.
From I think like Biden's inauguration,
it's so cringe.
And they moved
yeah.
it from elementary school library to middle school library. The media tried to act like somehow this is being banned, and you actually had Miami-Dade County Public Schools spokesperson have to come out and say there's nothing that's been banned or removed. It was basically just determined that this particular book was better suited for middle school, and so they put it in the middle school media center. And the media tries to act like somehow that is offending something with a book ban. So, but I think part of the reason that they're doing that is because, you know, there is actually a movement to ban books from like Amazon and some of these others. California, some municipalities have banned things like To Kill a Mockingbird.
It's you. you're the one doing this. You're lying to everybody and saying that the books that you're targeting are specifically because they teach indoctrination and sexuality through LGBTQ powers or whatever the fuck. You're doing it intentionally to downplay or change or whitewash the history of America, to downplay the severity of the crimes and atrocities that have been done in the name of good old American freedom. Fucking genocide. Straight up genocide. It's absurd at this point to have to, like, by the way, just, it doesn't matter the medium, doesn't matter if it's a scuffed ass fucking AM radio quality fucking Twitter spaces that just keeps crashing and is just a demonstration of the fact that Elon Musk doesn't know how to run a fucking tech company. It's still being used by a fucking fascist to downplay the severity of their fascism.
Probably reasonable book. So that is the kind of de facto book banning and de facto book suppression that I see quite a lot of, is that the publishers are unwilling to take risks.
Let me shift gears here for a second, because I know we're running out of time. We're supposed to end, I think, around 4, but...
Holy shit. AOC, we had more people join when I played Among Us. David Sachs just ludicrously made up that Ron DeSantis' Twitter space was the largest group that has ever met online. There was 100,000 people. It's so fucking sad. That's why, by the way, Matt Taibbi, Glenn Greenwald, David Sachs, even if they had done at one point or another effective or good work in the past, 100% the case of, like, they're all just PR for fucking billionaires and fucking the far right at this point. Oh shit, I closed the space. Oh no, I'm not gonna be able to get back in. Elijah Manley. Can't make this up. Ron DeSantis' campaign launch has crashed on Twitter. The failure to launch just about sums up the campaign's chances from the start. Yep. Oh no, it's glitching. Details not available. No! Let me in! Look at this scuffed nonsense. Alright, hold on. Let's get back in. Here we go. Let me into your scuffed stream! We lose nothing of value. That's true. It is quite nice and calming right now to have this instead. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Unmute.
Once and for all.
Nice.
There's a, I think, follow-up question on immigration from Steve Dace, who is a national radio personality and I think an important commentator in the great state of Iowa. Steve, do you have a comment or question? I think you just need to unmute. If Steve can unmute, then we'll go ahead and ask him for a question. If not, we'll keep rolling here. All right, 3, 2, going.
I'm there,
all right,
guys.
Sorry, Steve.
I'm there, guys.
Sorry. Oh, there he is. All right.
Yeah, my bad. First of all, I want to echo what Congressman Massey said to Elon. Elon, if I put down money on January 1st, 2022, that Twitter was going to be the last bastion of free speech on Earth, brother, I'd be about as rich as you are on that bet right now. I mean, it's incredible what you have done here. And
do you have
a question? Of a lot of accounts of people that were truth tellers and were ran from here for telling the truth. I saw a meme the other day that said, of course you have scientific consensus when you censor all the scientists who disagree. So I wanted to just say, first and foremost, on behalf of a lot of grateful people around the country and the world, really, thank you very much for that and the investment you made in that cause. Thank you. A question is a follow-up to you, Governor, on this very issue with immigration. We have heard a lot over the years.
Trump posted another video. Nice.
Drain the swamp. Going to build a beautiful wall. Mexico is going to pay for it. And crowds cheered. And everybody loved it. Brands got built and nothing got done.
Still such an old man.
What is the bottom line assurance that you can make to the people that are listening right now, all over the world and all over the country, that you can actually do the agenda that you just articulated when others tweeted about
this
it and talked about
like
it?
3 minutes
actually
of
through.
Preamble and fucking, oh,
it's a
you're
great
so
question
glorious, Elon.
I share that frustration.
So amazing.
Even my worst critics in Florida will acknowledge when I tell people I'm going to do something, I don't make promises or say I'm going to do something lightly. I've thought it through and I know that I am going to follow through on what I tell people I'm going to do. So this is one. There will be follow through. Number two, I understand the different leverage points that you would have under Article 2 of the Constitution. I studied that a lot at becoming governor about Florida's Constitution, doing the same thing for the federal Constitution. And you've got to know how to use your leverage to advance what you're trying to accomplish. So, for example, you know, there's leverage that we can use vis-a-vis Mexico that I think presidents have not been willing to do, I think sometimes for political purposes. But I'll look at, okay, what are all the variety of options we can do? Which buttons can I push? And I will do that to be able to bring this issue to a conclusion once and for all. We had Hurricane Ian come through Southwest Florida, Category 4 plus storm, September of 2022, and it did a lot of damage. But one of the things it did, it knocked out a bridge going from the mainland to Pine Island, and it severed the Sanibel Causeway in three different locations.
Where are you going with
and
this?
The locals were being told it's going to take 6 months to get that stuff repaired. And so they came to me, even though these were not state-owned bridges, and they said, can you help us? And
DeSantis, I said, okay, the bridge builder.
So I got my guys together. I said, listen, bureaucracy, no red tape, and no excuses. Get it done. We need to open these bridges back. Pine Island Bridge reopened 3 days later. Sanibel Causeway opened 2 weeks after that, way, way ahead of schedule, because we wouldn't take no for an answer, and we wanted to make sure we got it done. So for me, it is not a campaign slogan that you get in and then forget about it. I'm, as an American citizen, if I wasn't running, this would be an issue that bothers me. I've put a lot of my capital as Florida governor involved in combating illegal immigration. We banned sanctuary cities my first year. We just did a strong anti-illegal immigration bill in Florida that's working. I put marine assets in the Florida Keys to help the Coast Guard.
Join Ron DeSantis for president.
Like Haiti. I had people at the southern border right now helping Texas, and we've even been able to relocate illegal aliens to places like Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah,
so
what is this?
I don't think any governor has probably gone out of his way to do more to try to make an impact on this issue. And I'm not going to take no for an answer. And I think our voters are sick of the empty promises. They want to see action.
Thank you, Governor.
Well, Governor, I saw the cover of Time Magazine this week. And I think they were trying to do a negative story because they had you were sort of scowling in this portrait they made of you. And in the article, they call you they compared you to the Terminator. And I think they meant
for anyone who's not familiar with the story,
I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was a good thing because I think we need a cool-headed, ruthless assassin to go in and basically take on the woke mob, take on our out-of-control government, and take on.
Oh, that is it. I don't know why it's glitching. Probably because it's so fucking terrible. So, yeah, what he's talking about is doing actual human fucking trafficking. They've dehumanized immigrants to the point where he's completely fine and being, like, epic hero when they're talking about that shit. That's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It's no surprise that they're, like, he considers that a win when most people would be like, well, that's an abhorrent way to treat other human beings. Yeah, they put them on a fucking bus and just dropped them off. Absolutely. There was no relocation.
Myself, I don't know what SOB is going to succeed me in this chair. But they are not going to have anything to do because I'm getting all the meat off the bone. I am going to make sure that I'm leaning into issues and making an impact. And we have done that in the state of Florida. And I bring that exact attitude up to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Governor, I'd love to jump in and follow up on that. This is Chris Rufo. And you know, I've had the honor of working with you in the past few years on critical race theory, gender ideology, and the DEI bureaucracy. And what I've seen up close and personal is that while many conservative politicians going back decades have made headlines and got on television playing culture war, they never actually get anything done. And what you've done over the last few years is really astonishing. You've eliminated CRT from all Florida's public institutions. You've stopped gender ideology dead.
So is there a question? is there a question coming up?
All of Florida's public universities, they'll be shut down completely. And I think what you've done is established a blueprint for fighting back against the left's long march of the institutions and making sure that those institutions reflect the value of Florida voters, not left-wing activists and the partisan press. So my question for you is, you know, D.C. is another animal. It's quite different, the scale of the federal government, and how are you going to deliver results, and what is your culture war strategy facing down the swamp in D.C.?
Well, some of it is similar in this respect. When we're taking on things like DEI, you get blowback from legacy media and the far left. But
That's an example of an issue where they are out of step with the vast majority of Americans. It's not just Republicans. It's independents and a lot of Democrats, because you think about if you're a
upstate New York declares state of emergency due to Florida's relocation.
You want to know when they apply to college, they're going to be judged based on their merit, and they're not going to be roadkill in some type of woke Olympics where they didn't fit some category and so they're denied opportunity. They want to make sure that achievement matters. And so we get a lot of quiet support for a lot of those things. And so I think what I do, just because, look, I'm a blue collar kid. I grew up in the Tampa Bay area working minimum wage to get through school. You know, my grandfather worked in the steel mill in Western Pennsylvania.
Literally a steel mill.
Instinctively, kind of.
I just have it in my blood.
People think about
you know,
all
the
this
blood
stuff.
And soil.
And
good
I have
old
a good
blood
sense
and soil.
Of when the legacy media and the left are outside of where the average American is, because people want you to be using common sense. And
yeah,
things like DEI,
I'll be honest,
I mean, when I was growing up,
I never served in the U.S. military, and I never was a torture whisperer. I wasn't the person who would find out what was the worst kind of torture to be inflicted on another human being and then use that form of torture to torture them. So, yeah, I guess we have different lived experiences on that one. But good luck on, you know, hunting down the woke mind virus and catching it. It's slippery, that one.
Do in the federal level. It's also the case that there are some tools at the federal level that we don't necessarily have at the state level. For example, some of the problems with the university and the ideological capture, that didn't happen by accident, can trace back all the way to the accreditation cartels. Well, guess what?
The accreditation cartels.
Become an accreditor, how do you do that? You've got to get approved by the U.S. Department of Education. So we're going to be doing alternative accreditation regimes.
Amazing.
Where instead of saying
what could go
you
wrong?
Only get accredited if you do DEI, you'll have an accreditor that will say, we will not accredit you if you do DEI. We want a colorblind, cool. merit-based accreditation scheme.
You're making a white supremacist fucking accreditation scheme right now, just laying it all out and being like, well, no, this is about meritocracy and people not getting ahead because they happen not to be white. No more. No more of that, I say. Yes.
See some of the outrageous stuff that's generated in some sociology department at a university. That didn't just happen out of thin air. There's a reason why
we
got to that point.
Oh, no. What an L. What an L. You sad-ass fascist.
The federal government where
damn.
You can push back.
That sucks.
And try to get
look at that. Look at people, Ron.
Little
pudding
more,
boy. Little pudding boy couldn't get his
about,
torture
we're
pudding.
We're pursuing truth here, and we're not here to try to impose one niche ideology
niche?
On the entire student body.
Great. Shifting gears, Dana Lash, you have a question or comment for the governor?
I do, and thank you both so much for
man.
Your time.
Dana Lash is here.
Everyone joining us
just
in a very
the
new
little
way.
Rotating
really
cast
that.
Of people who are
really
like, all right, we're firmly siding with
for
the fascists.
Free speech too. Yeah. And Elon, I have to say,
this
thank
has
you
always
for
been about free speech.
And
ban some
for
books.
Unthrottling
ban
the
some books.
Of all of us who got in trouble for sharing a New York Post story about a laptop.
Oh my God.
And Governor, I wanted to thank you for your leadership and your unwavering support of Second Amendment rights. And you're on my program tomorrow, and I just got to say, you got my vote in the primary, so I appreciate it very much. Were talking about DEI just a minute ago.
So this is going to be an unbiased question by a journalist, right?
Against natural rights and free enterprise. It's this threat of debanking. Now, I know that, you know, Elon, I've read so much about you and what you've gone through. You've called ESG criteria evil incarnate. Governor DeSantis, Florida, saw financially weaponized wokery earlier this year when Wells Fargo Bank dumped both the business and personal accounts of a very prominent and well-respected gun dealer in Florida. They'd been together for 25 years working with Wells Fargo, and they cited new ESG guidelines. Now, similar to...
This is a real thing that's happening. I know it's like it's easy just to discount it as some kind of strange cartoonist disaster for fucking Pudding Fingers Meatball Ron. But yeah, these are real words that are coming out of someone's mouth as they are talking to a presidential candidate with one of the richest human beings who has and owns this fucking social media platform that they're using right now to deliver this message. The fucking wokery of the banks and all this kind of shit, yes, is coming out of their mouths. Like, holy fuck.
...processors who are essentially cutting off law-abiding citizens and businesses.
Well, I think it's a fundamental issue that I think not enough conservatives have been wise to. I think more and more are. But at the end of the day, we have certain fundamental rights. And so maybe you're somebody that is you know, really excited about your Second Amendment rights. And obviously, if the government comes in and infringes that, we know you blow the whistle on that. That's a problem. But what if Wall Street banks are colluding so that somebody can't function in that space, whether it's running a store or anything involving that? Your rights are still being infringed upon in that situation. And so I think this whole ESG movement is really trying to do through the financial sector what they could never achieve through the ballot box. And so they're trying to do an end run around the constitutional system. And they're really trying to change policy. They're trying to change society. And they're trying to change the scope of people's rights. And so in Florida, I just signed anti-ESG legislation, which said things like no ESG criteria in our pension fund. We got $180 billion state pension fund. No social credit scores for consumers when they're going to bank. In other words, if you apply for a loan, that loan should be judged based on your creditworthiness, not whether you're genuflecting to the appropriate left-wing causes. But one thing we did do is we did provide protection against this debanking with the woke banking. No discrimination based on your religion and other
what
things.
What are you talking about?
Which we know is happening. So what? I think it's a fundamental question, but we will not be a free.
Again, just the nonsense fucking ether of fascism, where it's like, oh, well, you know, wokeness, things we don't like, banking, evil banking, elites, woke banking, going after Christians. Yeah, all makes sense, right?
You know, as a follow-up to that, Governor, Dana mentioned Operation Choke Point, and that is a term that's very familiar to crypto companies in Silicon Valley and fintech companies. Basically, it refers to an effort by the federal government, including the SEC.
What could go wrong? You'll only get accredited if you do DEI. You'll have an accreditor that will say, we will not accredit you if you do DEI. We want a colorblind...
I'm just trying to find more
Yeah, but really high-quality good companies, including companies that are public, like Coinbase. And these guys are basically begging the government for just a framework. They're just like, tell us how to operate legally, and we'll do it. You know, I guess, where do you come down on this? What is your view, I guess, broadly of Bitcoin and people's right to hold Bitcoin and to transact Bitcoin?
And Dogecoin.
You have every right to do Bitcoin. The only reason these people in Washington don't like it is because they don't control it. And they're central planners, and they want to have control over society. And so Bitcoin represents a threat to them. And so, as you're saying, they're trying to regulate it out of existence. Look, could Congress enact...
So you're all right now trying to do a little Bitcoin ad in the middle of everything. Hey, I'm going to be the most pro-Bitcoin fucking candidate ever. I'm not going to restrict that shit. Yeah, we're not going to go after any of the money you rich people make. Why would I start doing that for the first time?
The bureaucracy to just do it on their own and make it so people can't operate in that space. That's what we mean when we say we've got to return the government to the people's elected representatives who are our voice to be able to make these decisions. And so as president, we'll protect the ability to do things like Bitcoin. I think these are people that are sophisticated. They can make decisions. There's risks involved with it. But let them do that. I just do not have an itch to have to control everything that people may be doing in this space. And I think that the current regime, clearly, they have it out for Bitcoin. And if it continues for another 4 years, you know, they'll probably end up killing it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that is the strong feeling of people in Silicon Valley who are in this space. And I think we'll be heartened to hear your answer on that. I mean, the weird thing is that, and there is a huge constituency of crypto Twitter. So for people who are maybe part of political Twitter who are wondering why we're talking about this, it really is has a big audience for this topic.
Dogecoin too, I just want to emphasize.
Yeah, it's Bitcoin and Dogecoin. So shout out to all the Doge fans out there. Yeah. But the weird thing is that this administration, they seem to want to ban Bitcoin, but they want to create a CBDC, which stands for a central bank digital currency. What's your take on that?
So we were the first state just last month. We actually got the Florida legislature to pass a law that says Florida does not recognize central bank digital currency, because some states were actually adding that to their uniform commercial code. you know, the federal government's studying this. We did the opposite and say we didn't. Now, the reason why we did that is because what the Federal Reserve has said is, well, you know, we're going to consult with Congress. We'll consult with the executive branch. We don't have a CBDC right now. And ideally, we would get authorization for Congress. Well, wait a minute. It's not ideally. You must get authorization from Congress. I don't think Congress would authorize it. So if they unilaterally try to do this, we're trying to provide protection for people here in Florida. I know Biden did the executive order. They're studying it. I can tell you, if I'm president, we are not doing a central bank digital currency. I think that that would be a huge, huge imposition on people's financial freedoms and financial privacy. And oh, by the way, what would the logical result of this be? If the central authority has oversight over this, of course they're going to start imposing ESG criteria. Oh, wait a minute. You filled up your gas tank three times this week. You can't do any more. The sky of how they would be able to manipulate this. So I see it as a massive transfer of power from individual consumers to a central authority. And I don't think that that's good for a free society. So I'm a no on central bank digital currency.
Sounds
great.
Good.
Yeah. Great. Well, Governor, I want to thank you for the time. I mean, we could go for hours here, but I know you only had an hour and we've gone over that. So I want to be respectful of your time. I know there's so many people who want to ask questions and
we should do it again. I mean, I think it was fun. I think this is great. And we'll make sure that that we come back and do it again. This is a great platform. I mean, I would like to see other platforms going in the same direction. But, you know, a healthy democratic society needs the robust debate. So I just want to thank everybody for listening in. And I'll just make that pitch again. You know, we want you on the team. We'd love for you to go to rondesantis.com and make a donation so that we can get this done on this nomination and win the election in November of 2024. God bless everybody. And thank you.
Well, thanks, Governor. And yeah, we have over 300,000 people in the room. It's really been pretty incredible.
Are you going to lie again and say it's like the most popular event that's ever happened?
Sheer scale of and unprecedented nature of what we're doing.
No, it's not unprecedented at all. This has been done. Fucking, I'm sorry.
Really strong,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Fucking, what's his face? Corpse Husband? Is that his name? The guy's got a really cool voice. Like, he gets like 500,000 fucking live viewers. Tons of like monster streamers get higher numbers than this. None of this is unprecedented. Like, Jesus.
But it's genuine. And I think that really gives the people an opportunity to understand who might be their president in a way that's real. So thank you very much for coming on and doing this.
And the invitation's open to any other candidates who might want to do this.
Absolutely. It is important for people to hear directly from candidates. So, thank you for working with us on this historic.
It's just an ad. This whole thing was an ad. he
fucked
up.
Looking forward to it future conversations and
that's
just,
for sure. You fucked up.
Having a great national dialogue.
Mm. All righty, everybody. Thank you for just.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Oh my god! Cringe. Fucking cringe. You fucking. Oh, the fact that, like, you know, it's the face of fascism right now is this kind of like. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Is it over? Oh, it's about to hit 300,000. You don't want to miss out on that. Well, that was as ridiculous as you probably imagined. All right, let's see what Trump is doing over at the Truth Socials.
That I'm proud to be an American. And I won't forget the men who died.
We are kind of melting the servers.
DeSantis is so fucked. You're never going to be able to beat fucking Trump at his own game. Trump, all Trump has to do is what he's doing. Like, DeSantis can have all these points, and Trump's like, you're a fucking pedophile. Just like that. You can't beat fucking Trump, you know? You can't go passive-aggressive on Trump. You're so fucked. You can't, like, join a little, ooh, this is exciting technology. What is this? Oh, it's like the AM radio, but on the internet. And people will be able to, ooh, this is going to be nuts, ask you some questions. Ah, well, this was really exciting. Yeah, well, I mean, you should ask me about my opponent. Yeah, he apparently loves prostitutes. Meanwhile, Trump's just like, groomer, he's a pedophile, big pedo, the biggest, huge pedo. Massive pedo.
To freedom and his willing to put his money where his mouth is.
Upset the narrative.
Upset the narrative who's all imposed on us by our government. Who gave
that light to weak, me? Sad. Weak. Weak and sad.
Governor DeSantis.
Weak and or sad. Just weird. You know, weird behavior. Like eating fucking pudding with your fingers. All the nice brown goo as it slothers down my face.
Make this.
USA! USA!
Just trying to get it going.
He's already memeing on you. He's already memeing on all of you. Like, there's nothing that fucking Elon Musk or fucking Pudding Fingers can do about this. Oh, God. Can do about this. Like, Trump's just gonna fucking meme you into the sun. He's too naturally hilarious. You know, you can't defeat Donald Trump at his own game. What are you trying to do? You're fucked. All of you are. At least I was an American. Man, I'm gonna have that fucking song stuck in my head all day. Ridiculous.
Do you enjoy the surfs but prefer not to have to use your eyeballs? Many are saying this. Well, we've got the solution for you. It's the Surf Times in podcast form. Available on most major podcasting networks now. If you enjoy it, please consider leaving a good review and feedback because it really helps the show out, apparently, and it's free, just like the podcast.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Juice, we shall spend many a generations building mighty cathedrals in your honor. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are but your oafish jesters, here to offer you a laugh at any opportunity. To our brave knights of the round table, Rachel K., Izzy Solidarity, Victoria Bell, Sebastian Demel, Mark Harmon, Benji Arnie, Scary Earth Human, Tony, DM Rivera, Resident Scarecrow, Sir Nickus, Cheryl Alvarez, Ruby Kelly, Brandon, Words Greenwood, Everything Important, Hegbert Celine, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariane McCarthy, Doug Cady, Daniel Sutton, Jenna Tao, Dark Puppy, Quiet One 85, Anna Loves Riley, Omni, Riley and Anna, Poodle Hawk, Multi Mondi, Trevbot EXE, Brian Ephraim, Anthropofojack, Catherine, Ramon Acosta, Nkosin, Ralph Parler, Violent Orchard, Political Puppy, La Media Panza, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We salute our valiant heroes off to fight injustice everywhere.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.